In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. С праздником! As we enter into this new season on this holy day of Pentecost, a prayer that we have not had in our rule of prayer, both as a community and our private prayers, has been given back to us. On this day of Pentecost, the descent of the Holy Spirit, we again begin our prayers with the prayer that is and tells us about the All Holy Spirit. And that's the prayer that we have heard multiple times sung because of its great joy. The prayer is, O Heavenly King, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who art in all places and fillest all things, treasury of good things and giver of life, come and abide in us and cleanse us from every stain and save our souls, O good one. This prayer tells us the character, the role, and our relation to the Holy Spirit. And so I want to focus on one line of this prayer, one attribute of the Holy Spirit, and that is the Holy Spirit is the treasury of good things, of all good things. St. Theophylact the Recluse says that what God the Father willed to be and what the Son of God accomplished in himself, that the Holy Spirit came today to give to the faithful. He came to give us of that treasury. The gift of the Holy Spirit that has been bestowed to this day upon Agathon and upon all of us who have received chrismation is a gift once bestowed. Because the gift is the person of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit himself, we can become more personally familiar with his gifts and the activity that he has, and in that our spirit grows in him. St. Philarete of Moscow, one of the great shepherds of our church, says that our spiritual growth can be characterized as a growth in six stages. And that in those stages, in each one, we are filled more with the all-holy Spirit. He says, but this isn't something, shall we say, sequential necessarily. Sometimes it ebbs and flows. But let's hear from him. He says, the way a person is filled with spiritual gifts is by the single and undivided action of the Holy Spirit. So you see that he makes a distinction between the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that the Holy Spirit then bestows upon the believer. St. Philarete continues, however, in man, this action begins and ends, lessens and grows, delays and hurries, and takes various forms and directions. It always depends on the readiness of the recipient, but it never depends on his actionable accomplishment or his will. Grace transforms everything that it touches in man into a priceless treasure. So what are those stages that St. Philarete says ebb and flow, rush and hurry, sometimes take little deviating paths? He says the first is grace that descends as a fiery tongue, like it did on the day of Pentecost. A fiery tongue of light that gives faith and the warmth of love. It's a spiritual fire that sparks to life in the heart, that banishes self-love and opens us up to God and to our neighbors, to others. If that spark isn't there, the spiritual work hasn't begun yet. He says next is that we become familiar with the voice of the law of God given through the word of God, that is Jesus Christ. He begins to speak into our heart and he forms Christ in us. Another way of thinking of this is that the conscience is now fully allowed to speak and to speak with boldness by the activity of the Holy Spirit. It convicts us. It moves us, it guides us, our step, our work. The human spirit now begins to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, which is the promptings of our conscience, whose guidance then forms Christ's thoughts, words, deeds, and actions in our life. St. Philaret then says, third, we now have a growing awareness of our own fallenness, our inability to bring ourselves to God with purity as a pure offering, but at the same time, we hope that He will come to us and take us to Him. We realize our barrenness, our nakedness, like Adam and Eve did when they realized their sin. But it's different with the descent of the Holy Spirit than it is with Adam and Eve, because now we have a desire for repentance by the promptings of the Holy Spirit through our consciousness. And then we powerfully feel the need to go on this journey with God as our salvation, as our journey of repentance. And in that, we begin to be remade. Fourth, St. Philaret says, this repentant desire through the promptings of the conscience develops in us what he calls the groaning of the Spirit. It cries out, Abba, Father, to God. We need our Father, and the Holy Spirit is guiding us as Christ is formed in us to our Heavenly Father. This is now the Holy Spirit begins to truly abide in the depths of the heart. Prayer now becomes a living sense, born anew. Prayer becomes a flow like a river of fire, a river of those fiery tongues. This is what Christ says, opening up the gospel, that out of them become like rivers of flowing water. And to this I speak of the Holy Spirit, is told to us by the evangelist John. Fifth, he says, our spiritual dignity now is established and begin following the Holy Spirit, who is solidified and clothed and has clothed us with Christ. Here, and perhaps a little bit we glimpse in the previous stage, we begin to know the treasury of good things. We begin to know the gifts of the Holy Spirit are being established, firmly planted in our life. And in a moment, we'll talk about how those gifts are manifested. And then, sixth of the stages that Philaret puts out for us, he says, now we begin to have an unbreakable certitude of the hope of faith in Christ, even in the midst of our sorrows and of our travails, of our sufferings. The peace of Christ then becomes established, and it surpasses all understanding. These are the stages of the growth of our familiarity with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we arrive at that line that I want to focus on. Treasury of good things and giver of life. It's important to note that the church, in its Catholicity, in its togetherness and its completeness, has as its common possession the treasury of spiritual gifts. But we need to remember that each member of the church, Father Simeon, you listening, I don't have all of those gifts. I don't manifest them all the time. But they reside in the church, and they reside in us as the body of Christ, the activity of the Holy Spirit. St. Basil the Great said it this way, since no one has the capacity to receive all the spiritual gifts, but the grace of the Spirit is given proportionately to the faith of each, when one is living in community with others, the grace privately bestowed on each individual becomes the common possession of the others. One who receives any of these gifts does not possess it for his own sake, but for the sake of the others. St. Basil is saying these gifts are not to boost up me as an individual, but to be shared. They're bestowed so that we can be together and support one another in our spiritual lives and in our spiritual growth. We receive all the same Holy Spirit, but we manifest the one gift of the Holy Spirit differently. Each member of the church has a different role, a different capacity to hold the many gifts of the Holy Spirit's treasury. We all go to Him, the Holy Spirit, and He gives what is necessary. So what are these gifts? In our parish, we have this beautiful tradition stemming from our Atria, our Catechesis of the Good Shepherd program for our little kids, that talks about these gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have at the back of the table those listed. They come from the prophet Isaiah, who lists them. But there's a second part here that I want to bring out, and that's the part that I've already touched on, that these gifts have a way that they are manifested in the life of the church. And the gifts are manifested not for me to simply have an understanding that I keep to myself, or keeping counsel with myself, speaking to myself in my own ear all the time, to have my own strength to flaunt it over, or just to serve myself, to have a knowledge that I keep to myself, or a patting on my back with my supposed godliness. No, these things, these gifts, they manifest for the benefit of all. Those gifts that Isaiah lists for us are wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, godliness, and fear of the Lord. We find these in Isaiah 11, the first verses of Isaiah 11. But then there's a curious list that I want to bring out. Is again, some translations in English say that there are gifts of the Holy Spirit that are listed by St. Paul in his first epistle to the Corinthians. But what I want to bring out today is these are best understood as manifestations of those gifts that Isaiah speaks about and witnesses. He says that these manifestations, they vary, but they're not earned, they're given. To all of the faithful, they're not what we earn, like I've earned a promotion or I've earned a raise. I deserve it for all of my hard work. It's not how the Holy Spirit works. They're also not like a self-help program where I earn them. I do these things in the right way, and I will have this wisdom, or this knowledge, or this godliness, or this fear of the Lord. But rather, we strive to go to the Holy Spirit, knowing that we need these gifts, and we wait for Him to bestow them. And through the working of the Holy Spirit, then those gifts are manifested, as we read in 1 Corinthians. Through the working of the Holy Spirit's illumination of our mind, of our nous, our noetic capabilities, our spiritual eye, all of those things that the fathers talk about, they're one, which we can simply call the nous or the mind. These gifts of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and knowledge that have to do with our spiritual vision and of our mind, they're manifested as the words of wisdom that we might be given or give to another. Words of knowledge about the faith as we teach to others or learn for ourselves from another. And of the giving of faith to another. These are the ways that the Holy Spirit is manifested in the life of the body of Christ, the church. And through the working of the Holy Spirit, or rather with the Holy Spirit within us, those gifts of strength or might, godliness, and fear of the Lord, we may have those miraculous gifts of providing healing, of working miracles, of prophesying, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in various tongues, as happened on the day of Pentecost with the apostles, and in the interpretation of those tongues. In other words, an understanding of what is heard. This is the activity of the Holy Spirit, the gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to give to us this day. These gifts manifest for the benefit of all. If I am alone on an island, I'm doing no good. I can't fulfill even the most basic and high, but also high commandment of God to love my neighbor, because I have no neighbors. And so I can't know myself. I can't know who God wants me to become. I need the body of Christ, every member. And then these gifts of this unity that is bestowed in the life of the Holy Spirit can be manifested in these ways. And so we end the prayer with a petition. We've named all that the Holy Spirit is. We focus today on the treasury of good things, but then we ask for this: that Holy Spirit, come and dwell in us, cleanse us from every stain, and save our souls, O good one. We can do none of those things and have none of those things if the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in us. So we end that prayer with asking the Holy Spirit to live in us, to cleanse us, that we may have the Spirit, and so that we may have a true, healthy, and good spiritual life. That we may grow in our love, the love that lays down all that egotistical self-love that so often animates our life. That we may be opened up to know God through the activity of the Holy Spirit and know the gifts of the Holy Spirit and manifest them for the benefit of the whole body of the church. The Spirit is with us now on this day. May that spark of faith born in you grow into a river of fiery grace. May we know the Spirit's voice. May we repent of all that blocks us from growing in love for God and our neighbors. And may we know that the Holy Spirit sent by the Son for our salvation, may we know Him, that we may be given the abundant spiritual gifts as the body of the church and manifest them for the glory of God. Amen.